Når du forestiller deg et innbrudd, så ser du for deg drama.
Okay, se om du finner noen passord.
Kaos. At noen tar på det som ditt, invaderer det du har nærest.
Finn kort informasjon.
Det som bare du og kjæresten din vet om.
Masse private bilder. Nydelig.
Men sannheten at mens et digitalt innbrudd pågår, så merker du ingenting.
For sikkerhetens skyld inkluderer vi sikkerhetstjenester i våre abonnement. Bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.
De fleste har helter fra ungdommen, og for meg Sonata Arctica blant dem. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og traff dem tidligere i år, og siden de ute med ny plat og skal spille i Norge snart, hører vi intervjuet på Jernverket nå. Før vi kjører intervju har jeg en beskjed til. For at Jernverket skal overleve som podcast, så trengs det midler for gratisarbeid. Det overvurdert, for å si det sånn. Dagligvarekjedene og mobiloperatørene, de ikke spesielt interessert i å sponse heavy, men det forhåpentligvis du. Så jeg har vært frekk nok til å opprette en Patreon-side og en VIPs-konto. Så hvis du vil bidra med noen slanter for å holde Jernverket flytende, hadde jeg satt enormt stor pris på det. Du kan donere via Jernverkesiden på patreon.com eller via VIPs-nummer 567438. All informasjon står nederst i episodebeskrivelser med en lenke som fører rett til kassen på Patreon. Igjen, tusen takk for alle bidragene. Jeg klarer ikke dette uten deg.
Okay, so now it's on, and we'll do this in English from now, as most of my listeners are not Finnish. So I'm sitting here with two members of Sonata Arctica. Can you please tell listeners who you are and what you do in the band?
Hello, I'm drummer from Sonata. My name is Tommy.
Hi, I'm Henrik. I'm the keyboard player in Sonata Arctica.
And now you're here in Norway to do an acoustic show. How did all that come up as an idea? Why did you want to do an acoustic tour?
Well, we had some off time after a studio, and we decided to do something. It would be like 4 months off again, so we wanted to do something different, not the same songs that we've been playing for 3 years. So yeah, we came up with this acoustic idea. We did this, I don't know how many, 2 years ago. Yeah, we did like 10 shows, acoustic shows in Finland, and it was so much fun, so we decided to do it again.
Yeah, I mean, I think this whole thing started like years and years ago. We did, at one point, we did like two or three songs in the middle of the set that was acoustic, and then it expanded from there, and then... Then like it was 2 or 3 years ago, we did some festivals acoustically, and that worked out quite well. And so now when we needed to come up with something to do, and you know, here we are. So we did 10 shows in Finland now, and finished there last weekend, and now we're going to do 16 shows in Europe, and then no more acoustic for a while. Yeah.
But how do you pick the songs for an acoustic set? Are you like focusing on the ballads, or are you actually playing like San Sebastian with acoustic guitar and a piano?
Well, we did play San Sebastian last time we did the acoustic script, but this time we are playing Wolf and Raven instead. So we wrote down which songs we played 2 years ago. They were like, I think, 16, 17 songs, something like that. And then we took only six songs of those into this set, and then the rest was just new stuff or new old stuff, whatever. And we tried to pick songs that we have not played acoustically before, and also some songs that we haven't played live in a while, just to make it as diverse as...
Or maybe never.
So it's a hit and miss thing.
You said you were coming directly from the studio and with a lot of spare time. Does that mean that your next album is already...
For us two, it is, more or less. But
it's almost done. It's of course, mixing and mastering and stuff like that. But Tony have to sing, I don't know, maybe 5 songs or 6 songs.
Yeah, still.
So, yeah, it will be released in September 6th. Was it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it public?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
now it is.
It doesn't matter because I thought I would release this interview a little bit later this year, since you're doing a new tour, and I hoped that the new album would be coming. So if you have some secrets, I'll keep them secret. Yeah. and just pretend that I didn't hear it.
No, but that's pretty much how we did. We went into the studio in the fall, and we played our parts already last year, and then and of course we took some time off around Christmas as we usually like to do, and then this thing rehearsed a bit, did the shows, back to the album after that. So
Can you tell me a little bit about the new album? How does it sound like? Is it anything like the last one or some older Sonat albums? What is it all about? Like lyrically, musically?
We're trying to figure it out ourselves. Lyrically, we can't say anything.
Haven't heard anything. Yeah. Lyrical stuff like that.
I hope it's good, but it usually is. But the thing is, if we say that it sounds like something we've done before, then it's not going to be the same, and people are going to be disappointed. If we say it really feels like it's something new, which it does for us, then people are going to say, well, it's the same shit you've been doing for 10 years. Yeah. So it's like, I'm a bit reluctant to try to describe it. But we did some things differently in the way that we are now working with the producer. And we also played most of the stuff live together.
Yeah, all the bass and drums are played together.
Oh, that's cool.
And also guitars and some of the songs with guitars and keyboards at the same time in the same room.
Yeah.
So it was basically live played in the studio. So it was first time for everybody.
So we did a lot of things differently, and we can hear it. Hopefully, other people can hear it too. I think so, but it's really. It has been a really eye-opening experience to work with the producer, and of course it's our front of house guy who have been mixing us for years as well. So he's worked with a lot of Finnish famous acts over the years, and so we asked him to come in and help, and his input has been really massive. I mean,
he's the guy,
he hears stuff that we don't maybe realize, and when you're just playing and focusing on your own stuff, then you may not get the bigger picture, and he's really good with that and saying, oh, could you do something more like this, and not like telling the notes or beats to play, but saying like talking about how it should feel and stuff like that. And he's very good at describing what kind of mood he thinks would suit, and you try it and usually it works really well. So so it was really helpful, I think.
Yeah, he's the guy who know how Sonata should sound.
Yeah,
like basically
exactly.
We wanted to sound more like live in the studio as well, so he's the perfect match for that.
But how much does the band have to get to say, since I know that Tony is writing most of the songs? How much can you say about it, like, I don't like this song is shit, or we should do this, or...
Well, it depends. I mean, the thing is, he usually presents us with a bunch of demos, and some songs you can see he worked more on them, and they're pretty much figured out, so you just learn to play it and that's it. And some songs have a lot of changes in them that you have to fix to make it sound better, and you do suggestions, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and but we talk a lot about the direction of the songs once we start working on them. So it depends. Some songs we have a lot of say, and some songs we don't. If he has a really clear vision how he thinks it should sound, then we go with that. But then usually you already hear it on the demo that he has thought about everything, and it's really, he's been working on it for a long time, so it's really clear.
This is also a special year for Sonata Arctica, because it's, isn't it 20 years since your first album, 2019?
Yeah.
I think your first one came...
Yeah, exactly.
I saw your faces.
When we're celebrating 15 years.
Yeah, we did the Ecliptic Hour Europe tour and celebrated
really 15 years ago.
Yeah, 15 years, and we played the whole album then, so we're not going to do it again.
and
of course we got the new stuff coming up. So, but yeah, good point.
Yeah, 20 years and the 10th album too.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So you should celebrate. You should, I don't know,
we
make
celebrate
a...
We celebrate every night.
Started already, so yeah.
I don't know if it's Coke or red wine.
It's red wine. Yeah, that's the red wine.
Coke is unhealthy with all the sugar.
Yeah.
Red wine,
of course.
Is fine.
That's good for the antioxidants. And
exactly.
Yeah. But after almost 10 albums, What is your least favorite album in your discography, or the one you're least pleased with? Or
it's impossible to say. On every album, there's some nice moments, and of course, there's some songs that I don't like or I don't like to play on live. But yeah, every album has its own moments. So.
Yes, there's not one album that was particularly bad to do in the studio or difficult or
all of them. Yeah, it depends. I mean, but I think when you work on an album, you put your effort into it, and it's a special moment in time, and it can be hard or easy or both, which usually it is.
Yeah, you might have something going on or in your personal life
or something.
For example. One thing popped up my mind was when we were recording Recording Night. It was really hard time for me because my daughter was born too early. So yeah, it was always when I see the album cover, it comes up my mind like, ah, fuck, it was really hard on studio. Even though when we play some songs on live from that album, I remember the time that, okay, that was when I was recording this song and...
I wouldn't say that there's some. I mean, there's always, when you make an album, you do the best you can, and then 2 or 3 years later, you go, we should have done that or this or that song wouldn't have fit on the album or something. So if you want to go down that road, then you're gonna sit your whole life just regretting all the choices that you made. So basically, you make an album, you choose to your best of your knowledge what you can do, and then you move forward. And then with every album, I feel that we learn something new. And so that adds up, and then you can do it differently the next time. So,
can we go a little bit back in time, where you just shortly tell me the beginning of Sonata Arctica and a little bit about the first years?
The music style was far from nowadays, like far from heavy metal. It was like pop rock. Yeah, it was Marko Paasikoski, the former bass player, and first bass player Pentti Peura. They decided to do something else. They used to play this Finnish humppa, and they wanted to play rock. And they asked Tony to sing and Jani, the former guitar player, to play drum, play guitar. And they, in that time when they started the band, they had a drummer. But that drummer's mom tell the guy that, no, you can't bring the drums in that hellhole. It was a small summer cabin which was the first rehearsing room for us. So yeah, then they called me like, hey, would you like to join the band? So I'm happy that I'm thankful for the mom of that guy. So
story could have been completely different without that mom.
Yeah exactly. But yeah, it was a pop rock what we played, and we made a couple of demos, and then Tony heard Stradivarius Vision and he freaked out with the melodic metal and stuff like that. And yeah, then we made our last demo under the name Three Means, and we signed the record deal and changed the name for the Sonata. Here we are after 20 years.
I think it was wise to change the name at that point.
It was a record company's idea at the beginning. Like, and I was like, what the fuck? What's wrong with the name? Tricky Me. So it's funny. But yeah, it wasn't that heavy metal. Yeah.
What about throughout the years? You must have had some fun or crazy or weird moments, like Spinal Tap-ish ones. Do you have any good stories you could share with the Norwegian fans of things happening on tour or in the studio or maybe during shows?
Most of them are in the book, I think.
Yeah.
It's always like, what have happened? And you go like,
nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but it's, you know, equipment breaking down, people breaking down, stuff getting lost.
No, in Australia, everybody burnt their face pretty much the first day.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, we didn't realize that even though it's cloudy, the sun still burns there. Everybody was fucking red. And we went out with these speedboats in the harbor, and you get salt water on your face, and then the sun, and everybody was like, I think I was looking at Tommy, I'm like, dude, you're fucking red. And he's like, and you then? I'm like, I never get burned. And then you watch yourself in the mirror and go, what? And, I remember we played there and played in Sydney on New Year's Eve. And it was perfect because our show ended like 15 minutes before midnight. So I was waiting like I'm going to see the fireworks. But I didn't realize that it was like about 8 kilometers out of the city where we played. So I walked out in the backyard with a drink and I was like, okay, let the show begin. But it was behind a hill. So you can only see like a little bit flashing lights, but I watched the fireworks the next day on the TV. Then it was not the same, but I really thought I get to see that. But those kind of things happen sometimes.
Yeah. Hmm. I think it's also kind of, I don't know if you can call it Spinal Tapish, but Sonata Arctica was supposed to get a video game made from the Winter Hearts Guild album, but. And the game was made and everything, but it never came out. What happened?
I have no idea what happened.
We talked with these people, we met them a few times, and then they made a... Apparently they made a playable demo, which they presented somewhere, at some convention or whatever, but after that we didn't hear anything. And that's like 10 years, 15 years ago.
Doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah. No idea.
It would be so cool to play it. I heard one of you guys was supposed to be the playable character too.
All of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
They even
came
to take pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Side of
it. So you never got to play it yourself? No. It just disappeared into nothing?
Yeah. I mean, it was like we were communicating on and off, and they were, okay, now we have like a playable demo. That was actually with me as a character because I recorded some sounds for them as well, and then after that at some point just like waving after the song.
It's weird. Maybe we can find it on some obscure page on the internet. I hope so.
I think they would have told us so we could spread the news, but
one thing that actually happened is that there was made a tribute album for Sonata Arctica with different bands covering your songs.
Yeah.
How did that feel? You know, you're rock stars when somebody actually makes an album to you.
Yeah, it felt exactly like that when I heard that. Okay, now we are big.
It was funny. I mean, some of the versions were just...
For example, our friends Xandria band, they Don't Say a Word, and it was
really
cool
yeah.
version.
Yeah, I think the ones who dared to actually do something with the songs and make them their own, those are the best versions.
Yeah.
It was like some punk rock version of
the
Eighth Commandment or something.
Was
that
cool
was really good.
Well,
that and then who did I have write?
It was a cool version as well.
Yeah. There were a lot of cool stuff there.
Yeah.
Really interesting. And whoever sang the Black Sheep sounded really like a young Tony. That was funny. It was really like you go like,
really?
Whoa, that's close. That really, really, really close. I mean, the voice of the guy was really, really close to what Tony used to sound like 20 years ago.
But you guys also like to do cover songs. I really like the Scorpions, Maiden, Halloween covers you've done. Are you planning on any new covers now for the album or the shows?
Not at the moment.
These things happen sometimes. Sometimes they happen, and sometimes not. So, but at the moment we haven't talked about them. But it was like with the last album we did the Bryan Adams cover, and that was also something like we got the idea in the morning, and at night Tony was singing because we already played all the stuff like in one day, and so this cover stuff they happen usually pretty fast. You know, somebody gets an idea and then you do it, and then that's that.
Yeah.
So. Even though we say now that there's no plans, things might change.
Exciting. So I see that she's probably coming in a few minutes, but we should make a short playlist for our listeners so they have something to listen to after they've heard the podcast. Do you have any favorite songs or bands that should be on a playlist if we were to go to a party instead of doing our jobs? right now.
Our jobs is partying.
Afterwards. Yeah, it should be at least one sonata song, but the other ones can be whatever you like, as long as it's somewhat hard rockish.
Avenged Sevenfold?
Yeah, Hail to the King.
No. Something from the new. From, so, no. Well, you can choose that. It's like Sunny Deposition. It's from the latest album.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that. I have it.
Don't look at me. I don't like them at all.
Of course, something from Nightwish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God, I can't remember any names of the songs.
Well, then just always say the first one on the new album, Shadow Before the Beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suck at remembering titles too.
Strada Horizonte, High and Low.
Yes,
of course. Mötley Crüe kickstart my heart.
Oh, yeah.
Because the movie is coming out in a few days.
Yeah, I think they're showing it here at the same venue as you
were.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah, but it's on Netflix. But they were having like a showing.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think they're having some kind of show with the talks.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna be in I think Paris at that time or something. So.
Yeah. You watch it in the hotel room.
Yeah, something like that.
What about the sonata song? You could pick...
Don't say a word.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Nice. Okay, so... should we round it up now? Yeah? We have one more question. Yeah, okay. I planned this really good. So, yeah. That's because I'm Finnish myself. I just wonder, what's your favorite... Finnish candy. What's the candy you miss the most when you're on tour?
Actually, it's an old candy that I just realized. I was like, I came home and I told my wife that, oh yeah, they have this. This is really good, you know, blah blah blah. And she's like, yeah, that's from the 70s. They just started making them again or something like that. I'm like, well, anyways, have you ever had this? Well, have I ever, you know? But it's called, what is it like? Susu. It is susu.
Susu pala.
Yeah.
Susu like pala.
Yeah.
Oh!
It's like a crispy chocolate.
It sticks.
Is it crispy outside and sticky in?
I know that. Yeah. At the moment, that's my favorite, but it changes. But it's really good.
Yeah, mine is a Fazeri Sininen Dumle.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Really, really, it's a new one, but still, it's really, really good.
I'm trying to get Norwegians hooked on Finnish candy because I miss Fazer so much when I'm here that I can't even live with myself. Okay, so we'll just need a photo and then you're free to do whatever, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or you probably have plans.
Thank you for the freedom.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Du har hørt et intervju med Sonata Arktika. De ut med nytt album, kalt for Dal vi ø, og skal spille på Blå I Oslo og Byscenen I Trondheim henholdsvis 12. og 13. november. Neste vecka skal vi bli bedre kjent med Temple X.
Hva hvis vi filmer et slags mystisk ritual av noe slag der oppe med fakler og kapper og lettkledde damer og...
Liker du heavy og power metal, kan du for eksempel høre tidligere Jernverke-episoder med Europe, Intrigue, Satan og Manila Road. Abonner på Jernverke podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverke.com for å høre. Og hvis du kan, det fint om du legger igjen 5 stjerner av Jernverke der du lytter, eller mer hvis skalaen går til 10 selvfølgelig. Det bidrar til at flere får med seg podcasten. Og hvis du I tillegg vil donere litt peng for at jeg skal kunne fortsette, så kan du gå via Patreon eller Vips. Hvordan det gjøres kan du lese nederst I episodebeskrivelsen. Det noen lenker du kan trykke på der. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for månedens album fra Katakomben, diskusjoner, konkurranser og nyheter. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Tusen takk for at du hører på.
På bussen, en helt vanlig torsdag, mottok Tore tilbudet som skulle forandre alt. En e-post, en lenke og en nettside med rabatter på det nye utstyret han egentlig ikke hadde råd til, men hadde så lyst på. Det eneste han rakk å tenke var at dette var nesten litt for godt til å være sant. Og det var det det var.
Over 70% av alle nye nettsider svindelsider. For sikkerhetens skyld har alle Telenor-kunder sikkerhetsfiltre som blokkerer falske nettsider. Se hvordan du kan bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.